Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
And a name you hear very often on this station, often I'm the one reading it. It's Dr. Balanandra. And I'm so glad you're here today, Dr. Balanandra. We really appreciate your time for joining us. You obviously do a lot of work with ketamine. It's an important month to do that. Thanks for hopping on with us.
Great to be here, John. How have you been?
I've been well. And I first want to say congratulations for your Ellis Island Medal of Honor Award. People like John McCain have won that, Wayne Newton, Rita Moreno. So you joined some pretty elusive company there.
It was an amazing experience, and I was kind of frankly shocked and honored and very humbled at the same time.
Well, it's huge. Yeah. Congratulations
so
on
much.
That. Before we dive too deep into the Matthew Perry thing, which I know we're going to get to, and ketamine, can you just first lay a foundation? What exactly, and explain it to me like I'm 10, what is ketamine? How does it work?
Okay, so ketamine is an anesthetic drug, actually. It's been developed like over 50 years ago, and it's been used as an anesthetic pretty much since the 1970s or 80s. And its recent kind of jump into the psychiatric world was around the year 2000, when it was found just kind of accidentally during some studies at Yale primarily, that it had this amazing ability to just lift depression rather quickly and very robustly, often after just one treatment or one dose. What it does is it blocks a different molecule in the brain, besides what the Prozacs and the Zolofts and all the SSRI drugs do, and any psychiatric drug really. It blocks a receptor called the NMDA receptor. So it works on a different neurotransmitter in the brain. It's called glutamate, just to make it simple. And by increasing the levels of that, it's able to lift depression, and that also, leads to the psychedelic effects that ketamine has also. But the crazy thing about ketamine, and the most amazing thing about ketamine in my mind, is its ability to actually physically change the pathways and modify and heal the pathways of the brain through the release of growth factors that it causes in the brain.
What do you mean by repairs it? Like gives you a new pathway?
Yeah, it causes the release of growth factors in the brain, very powerful ones that even after one treatment, there are new nerve elements forming and pathways forming. And people actually say that, they feel their brain is changing.
Huh.
But it's actually kind of stamping new and healthier pathways and patterns of thinking and dealing with anxiety and depression and stuff like this.
PTSD.
In your brain. PTSD also, absolutely. It's very effective for PTSD.
When you say a treatment, what does that look like?
So typically a treatment is a 45 or 50-minute long session. Ketamine is administered intravenously through a slow IV drip throughout that whole period. And, we figure all the dosing and everything, and we adjust your doses on each session so that you get the best possible outcome. You're in a private room. It's very comfortable. There's mood lighting. There's amazing music, or your headphones, of course. You're
it's
in a recliner.
It's done in your facilities, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
So in our clinic right here downtown, and you're in a recliner, dark, and you just kind of go off into your own world for 45 minutes. The psychedelic part of it is called dissociation, meaning you're kind of outside of your body. It's kind of like you're in an awake but dreamy state. And most people find it to be most relaxing, calming, very peaceful, kind of enlightening experience.
The word psychedelic might worry some people. I think that word has been used by other people to scare people away from it. It is maybe out of body is the best way to describe it. That's in the more simpler way. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. Most people actually consider it very therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
They say it's almost like it is actually like having therapy within your own head, because you do go through things in your life, and you will confront things, and you'll somehow magically manage to deal with them and process them and come out the other side different.
Yeah.
And that's what's really amazing about it. So it's actually a very beneficial part of it. Now, again, this is always has to be done in a clinical setting, and it's absolutely safe if you go to a clinic. Clinics have to be very experienced. The worst thing you can do is go to a clinic that's not experienced in this. And that's, we've been doing this for 8 years now almost. We've done well over 15,000 treatments, treated thousands of patients. And honestly, I think, we provide some pretty top-notch care.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it's in your setting. It's among the dosages that you know are correct, and it's not done at someone's home.
Exactly.
So when I heard about Matthew Perry and the word ketamine started being used as a cause, I immediately thought of you because you've done like the yeoman's work of educating listeners for it. And I feel like a high profile incident like that can really set something back, a movement of growth that has been had. What was your reaction when you heard about it? And maybe as you started digging in, share a little bit about what you learned in those circumstances.
Yeah, so I heard about it just like everybody else on the day that, you know, he had died. And I was frankly shocked too. You know, we didn't really even know that he had been doing ketamine prior to that, even medically, you know, which he was doing at a clinic, by the way. I got a number of calls from various media sources around the city to talk about it right away, and I did. I did that, but I dug into it pretty deep. And at the end of the day, this is a guy who's obviously struggled his entire life with mental illness. We all know that, depression, probably some PTSD, you know, and he had some addiction issues, you know, with other substances also. He was getting ketamine treatments at a clinic in L.A., supposedly, and his last treatment was done supposedly a week and a half or 2 weeks prior to this incident, mm-hmm. where he passed at home in his hot tub. But the question is, why and how did he get that ketamine that put him in, that he took before getting in the hot tub or while in the hot tub or whatever?
So he had been to the clinic under supervised care and consumed ketamine some way before getting into the hot tub between those two things.
Yes.
So which is the wrong thing to do.
Absolutely the wrong thing to do. You know, and
not
obviously,
judging,
obviously it wasn't medically supervised.
Right.
Or in any kind of a safe setting. He basically had taken, well, we thought initially that it was recreational ketamine that he had gotten off the street, because there was ketamine found in his stomach, okay, at the autopsy, which implies that he had ingested some ketamine in the form of powder or sometimes lozenges. There's various forms that you can, you know, do that with. But what was the amazing thing about it is the levels of ketamine in his blood at his autopsy. Okay, so let's just to make it really simple. The levels of ketamine in his blood, the concentration of ketamine in his blood at his time of death was literally about 30 times higher than what you would see in my clinic.
Okay.
Even with my higher dose infusion patients.
30 times.
30 times. And that actually puts it, his concentration puts him smack dab in the middle of the range of concentration for a general anesthesia. So basically, he had given himself a general anesthetic, which obviously puts you in a state of general anesthesia. You're not going to respond to anything. And then he slipped under the water and he drowned. And if you're under general anesthesia, you're not going to fight not going to fight it.
We're running out of time here, but I'm glad you shared that information because I think it underscores the point where we're at. September is Suicide Awareness Month. We're all trying to break the stigma, all looking for ways to help. You guys do it in a clinical setting under proper dosages. These two things are not related.
Absolutely not related at all.
Someone actually texted in. They wanted to know, do you need someone to drive you home after one of these treatments, or are you able to do that?
Yeah, you should have somebody take you home.
Okay.
If you're obviously an Uber or something is fine too, but you cannot operate a vehicle at all. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate you answering these questions, mm-hmm. Dr. Balanandra, and you did it other places too. And we've talked about ketamine a lot. We'll continue to do so. 844-9-IV-MEDS for a free consultation. Someone can just call you and start asking questions, right?
Call us, email us, and we're always available.
KetamineChicago.com. All right, Dr. Balanandra, congrats on the award again. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you, John.